Hello and welcome to the ICTRA Space Podcast. My name is Nora Engelbert. Together with Margret Jäger, I'm welcoming you to today's episode for a series on applied anthropology. Margret and I are eager to show experienced team leads, C-levels, and HR representatives the value anthropology brings to the table to help you thrive your business success. Anthropology is about a holistic view on everything that makes us human and on how we as humans perceive and interact with the world. So, anthropology is key for business fields like customer experience, doctor-patient interactions, communication, team building, the intersection of humans and technology like AI, robotics, or any customer interfaces, and for the analysis and differentiation of culture, structure, and technology in organizations and communities. Lean back, listen in, and let yourself be inspired by the stories and insights from our guests here in the ICTRA space, under the Tree of Life.
Hello and welcome to our ICTRA Space podcast. I'm Margret, and together with my co-host, this is the second series about applied anthropology. And today I have a very special guest who is my co-host, Nora herself. Hello, Nora.
Hi, Margret. Thank you for doing the session today with me.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, and each time I learn a lot about your work. So for our listeners, Nora and I got known via LinkedIn. Social media is an interesting way to get known people. We are both anthropologists, but we didn't know each other. We live in different countries, and somehow we came along each other's profiles and we started talking. And here we are making this wonderful project with and for you. Nora, tell us more about you.
Yes, thank you, Margret. LinkedIn is indeed a wonderful space. I discover more and more from me. And yeah, what we have in common and why we're doing the podcast now is that we are both anthropologists. I'm an anthropologist because I have or always had a strong inner drive to understand the world, to understand our species, and what makes us human special and what capacity we actually have to create new things, and wanted to understand why we do not always, but how we can create and co-create a positive future for all of us. And that is what led me to my professional journey inside academia and afterwards. I see your face. I see your face. You want me to delve into project management now and organizational change management. Yes, actually, that is the topic I brought today. For more than 10 years now, I wanted to apply, not only be in academia, I wanted to apply what I learned to actually make a difference in the real world, let's say. So that is why about 10 years ago, I became a project manager and organizational change manager in the fields of IT and business transformation projects. And over the years, then delved into what is project management, how do IT people think, where are the communication issues, what is the actual work people actually do in corporations to build something new and deliver services. And that is how I ended up for now at the stage of working in organizational development and new work. Agility, of course, is a huge thing still. And yeah, that's me so far. And now the biggest change I'm doing is for myself is that I decided a couple of weeks ago that I now finally go 100% into self-employment. So I have ICTRA Space as my nonprofit organization for 2 years. I have my self-employment. Now I'm building up with fantastic customers and started with the AAN, the Applied Anthropology Network, also in the Menti program, which is very well fitting to my leadership coaching for young leaderships and CEOs.
Wonderful. Could you dive a little bit into why anthropology is the core discipline for creating success in the 21st century? In our former talks, you brought it so nicely to the point.
Yeah, sure. To me, it's obvious. We're at the edge of a lot of transformations, a lot of disruptive changes. And there are two things that are, I believe, constant in life. That is, or in our life as human beings, that is, we are and remain human beings. That is stable. And life is constant change. So it's the interplay of change and stability, for one. There's also that we are now delving more into technology that is creating artificial intelligence, robotics, and the questions of, can we create a human being that is not a human being? And so the topic of what is human, so the anthropos, is at the core. And in doing so, I focus on collaboration, so how people interact and create their reality and their identity. And anthropology, from its history, has always been focusing on how normal people, like European anthropology, focusing on not the kings, but more the peasants, how the normal people live and work and create that reality in life and meaning in life and how they organize themselves. And the social anthropology part, focusing on the other, like what is so different in people living in India, people living in South America or in Australia, and then understanding something we are completely unfamiliar with and making ourselves familiar with. So that is something we have in a globalized world in international business as well, everywhere. Also with the migration, people from different life realities coming closer and closer, and with the social media, the separation of life realities in different bubbles becoming bigger and bigger. So the other is now here everywhere where we are. That is what anthropology is specialized in. And the last aspect is that anthropology developed the methods and brings the students of anthropology and the researchers always in the situation to make meaning and become comfortable delving into different realities via certain methodologies. So there are methods, mainly qualitative research, that enable us acting and being in, to us, foreign environments where we don't understand the language, where we don't understand why people make coffee the way they do, or why they eat something in the morning which we would never do, how the nonverbal communication actually goes in certain hierarchical or non-hierarchical groups. So that is exactly what we now need in the 21st century, because with the disruptions I mentioned in the beginning and the strong changes, everything is created new. So we are all facing this uncertainty and we are facing the ambiguity. So we need to deal with ambiguity, that one thing we look at has different meanings to the people who are looking at it. And we have to handle emotionally and analytically handle this manifold meaning, which is the ambiguity. So ambiguity tolerance is what people in business all over the world are thriving for their employees, so they can handle the changes.
I'm always fascinated how you explain anthropology to the world. There are so many aspects in there, Nora, like the other. Yeah, the world is globalized today. We do not need to travel to the other edge of the world. And we encounter every day around us, if we are open, of course, and if we live and work in certain environments where the other is next to us. And in business world today, it always includes people from everywhere. Look at the health sector, for example. Every health team has people from different places in the world and of other diversity aspects, of course, as well. And as you said, like, the world got so complex and so fast and so quickly changing. I have the feeling everybody should learn about anthropology at school. But I think we're a little bit far away from that in in the German speaking world.
Yes, that's why we're doing this here, Margaret. That's why we're doing it, because no one knows. I often meet people who still think that we are only focusing on half-naked people in the jungle in Papua New Guinea or African, and have a complete weird perspective on what that is, how the people live, but also then what anthropology is. I mean, of course we do that. That's what life is, what how people live, but there are so many different aspects on how people live. And so I still want people to know, hey, we are there. We have the answers. We have the methodology. Or if we don't have the answers, we will get there together with you. And we are able to help you getting there. That's my message.
That's absolutely to the point. It's about participation. It's not about collecting data and leaving again and thinking in your office space about, oh, what's that? No, it's co-creation. It's together developing things and trying to give people a voice who are not heard sometimes in processes. So all this together.
That's funny, actually. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just had to think how funny that actually is, that my PhD leading people to think that I do not know how to consider or talk with normal people. And then it takes a lot of convincing that, well, that's what anthropology is about. Being able to talk with everyone and consider everyone's perspective, delve into it, and make everyone integrated and participated and for co-creation.
Absolutely. And when we think now what you explained, what your current job situation is, so all this together, I believe, made you want or helped you to become a project and organizational change and transformation manager, right? Because all this knowledge is needed, and it's about communication, but it's about many more aspects. And please tell us more about this role and the tasks connected to it.
So, yeah, as you said, when I was studying in university, anthropology, politics, and international law, and then delving more and more into economics and the business world and the health sector, but unlike you, my road now took me more on this side of the business world and the corporate world, I realized, well, anthropology can be of value there, and I will help corporations succeed in the complex future. And that is what my journey was about. And when we talked earlier, you already were fascinated how much the role of an organizational change manager in the program or project is nearly exactly a description of what an anthropologist does. And maybe I start for those who are not so familiar with what transformation management is about and how it usually works in projects, tell a bit more about it. So projects are usually set up. They have the board and the people who guide and lead. And below that, they have teams who are doing the actual work. And you have people who are impacted by the work that people in the project do. And of course, then also you need to handle the customers in a new way. So it's a interdisciplinary setup, an organization with different levels of knowledge, of influence, of power, and of tasks and of fields they work in. So in the best project, what you do is that you have organizational change manager in the program management office from the very beginning when you start lining out your strategy. Because from our holistic approach that we consider a whole society, culture, a group, an organization, from all its perspectives, is what we bring to the table in this stage. Because we always all forget something, but as anthropologists, we learn to ask the right questions in terms of, have we thought of that? And who gets impacted by this? Or who could bring us information we do not have yet? And with that, we, from the beginning, help the leaders to consider important stakeholders to bring to the table and be part of the guiding coalition. And that helps to avoid unnecessary mistakes or unnecessary risks.
That's very strategic, maybe at the start and on the meta level, let's say, the big point of anthropological thinking is being with people and being able to think on the meta level at the same moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that is the one group you are doing participant observation in, and you have the consulting part, which you didn't, or I did not that much learn at university. I learned that while being a project manager and change manager. And also my teaching skills helped me a little bit, but it's actually very different being a teacher, a trainer, or being a consultant, because here it's more about, like coaching, getting the information that is already inside the people outside of them. So that is where the co-creation or the creativity part comes into play. And that is why in the former podcast we had with Bo, I said, well, design thinking actually is very much influenced by anthropological methodologies. And yeah, so that is the strategical part. And then the project starts. So the project starts and the core teams usually work in agile manners and iterations, finding out, making meaning. That is where I say, well, that's nothing new. That is what anthropologists have been doing since Malinowski or before. This iteration, delving within hermeneutical circle or spiral, what I prefer, deeper and deeper into the matter and making sense of something, and work with the interim state of meaning, of understanding. So the product or the minimum value product. That is agile ways of working. And that is what usually the project teams then do in an interdisciplinary manner. And there are a lot of misunderstandings. So what is necessary here is ensuring that you had the right plan of when to inform whom about what, so that people are not overwhelmed, but also don't have the feeling that they miss out information. So aligning communication, aligning information management, and here finding the right rhythm and space and pace, and needs a lot of sensitivity and listening, observing and listening. So here comes our method of participant observation really into play. Like all day long, dealing with stakeholders on all levels, realizing, oh, who is struggling, who is not struggling, who might need what information in order to continue his or her job, or maybe not overseeing some information. And in the end, the project or the product has a major mistake because there was information missing from another team. So this integration aspect is very much core of what organizational change management is about. And you enable people, you train people, you do the communication, you inform them. And that is a vertical. So from down to the shop floor or the production floor up to the board level, not all the information. They don't need to know when Jennifer scratched her back, but they need to know when Jennifer realizes, oh, there is a shelf always shaking and glasses are falling down. So optimizing and knowing that in the middle, there are managers in the project team who already noticed that and changed the entire setup of the shelves, and with that reduced the costs, well, reduced the mistakes and the costs. And so then the board level knows, hey, we have good people who are thinking proactively. So it's a vertical and a horizontal way you manage the communication. And that is where I said to everyone, well, it's my home turf because that's what anthropology is and that's what I can do. That's a value we bring very much.
I agree, absolutely. It's a lot about flexibility is the word that comes up with me, because anthropologists are absolutely trained to be flexible, because when we go on field work, when we do field work anywhere in the world, you have to be flexible to adapt to changes, to adapt to somebody new who comes to a group, or flexibility. And you addressed a term that is, of course, absolutely anthropological, and that I think also differs us from sociology very often, and which is so important today in business world, is thinking holistically, because it got so complex, but it's our main competency, thinking holistically. So could you dive a little bit into that, what this means in the business world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way you said that and compared it to sociology, to me it comes up to mind that the reason for that might be the topic of our research, so it's the subject of our research, because we really delve into what human beings are. And human beings all over the world have relationships. We are here embodied. We have our body, and really thinking holistically involves me and the entire body. So it's also an aspect of emotions and sensing what is happening. Realizing there is a project manager in front of me and I see him as a whole person. And that is something that was very new 100 years ago. And in the last decades, more and more people say, hey, bring the human into the projects and bring the human in. And we are all human beings, and the pandemic increased that. And the human often is reduced to the mindset. So only the mind and how someone is thinking, but that's not it. And there are theories and approaches in change management and in organizational development, in agile work, ways of working, or scaled agility. And they are focusing on different aspects of an organization. They are focusing on the mindset part. It's all about how people think. It's especially common in the US. You just have to have the right mindset and that everything will go well. Then you have people, that's more common in Germany. All you need is to have the good processes. You have to have the right processes and then everything will work. Then you have people who say, no, it's just, if there are mistakes and the technology isn't right, you need better technology, better technology, better technology. And then what we all know in IT projects, if someone is like really into the technology, they forget to link it to the processes and especially to the human being who is applying that. So we need user experience, user interface specialists, which is also, again, a very, very anthropological role. So what I say anthropologists do is we think of the mindset, the organization, the processes, the technology, and the information, like the content, but also the ways information is structured. And we do that when we study, I don't know, Slavic dances and how they use their new shoes in order to do the right movement. That is already technology. So technology is not something that is out there. Technology is something that makes us human, using and developing technology and using technology. So there has always been the interaction. It just needs to be aligned. And so finding, like I do the integration with the people in the project, I also do the integration of the aspects that make a corporation or an organization. And here I'm very happy that by now I found the first company over the last years who is approaching organizational change or organizational development in exactly that holistic manner. And we met this year, the company's Kiona Group. You might have linked and heard that I'm writing a lot about them because I have done a certificate in scaled agility enterprise coaching there. And we realized, oh, you're nearly doing what anthropologists do. That's interesting. And I can really relate to that because I was looking for an approach that is using technology in a way that is actually serving the entire organization and the human being. And they were looking at me saying, oh, that's what anthropology is about. Well, I never knew. And yes, of course, that holistic approach is, again, actually pretty human. to close our circle of today. And yeah, so that's what I'm currently working on. Saying it's not culture only what anthropologists do. And even culture is not only fairy tales and mythology or dance, but culture is linked to structure. We have Levi-Strauss, we have the structuralism. And the cultural turn actually was very late in the 70s. So what we here have is sensitivity for the dynamics of groups, and we have the sensitivity of power. Because when we think holistically, we also realize how managers are scared of change because they fear it means they lose their power in hierarchical settings. And that is where we have the human aspect as well in there. We, as anthropologists, I always say, we can deal with people where we do not share the same belief system. And we can be against certain ways of living, but still we can approach the people with respect. And that is the same with power. And I really strongly advise everyone out there who is wants to do change management and anthropology not to be idealistic about it. Because the old white men who are structurally in power, they are not the bad people per se. It's the structure here. And we have methods to approach people with love and respect and enable them to co-create a new world where the power is still there. It might look different, but we need to make them a participant, active participant of the change. And we need to not consider the power within an organization to be bad. Because if we do that, it gets stronger and stronger and the resistance gets stronger and stronger and we end up in the battle. And that is not what the CEO wants. The CEO wants an organization, a corporation that brings profit in the future and will be there in the future with lots of profit. And with that resistance from the managers, everything can be destroyed. And so we need to be sensitive about it. That is something very important to me.
That's a lot of food for thought, Nora. And I absolutely agree with you that power, at the beginning, it's a neutral thing, and then it can be used for the good and the bad. And people have power. Like, as you said, it's a structural issue. It's how our society works. But who has what type of power and how is it used and how can we change this use is absolutely important, because you can design the most beautiful technological something, but if the end user doesn't use it because it's not working for them, they have the power that are buying it. So thinking in the business world terms, it's an absolute need to have an anthropologist there to get all these things you have mentioned. And I really liked it. As you said, it's mindset, but it's also organization, it's processes, it's technology, and it's information. This is five fields always working together. And you mentioned it in our talks before. And I would love that you just say something about that more at the end of this conversation now already. You said once, culture is not only a soft skill. And I love that a lot. And can you explain a little bit that?
Yeah, I came across some colleagues who said, had the sentence, "Oh, culture eats strategy for breakfast," and "Oh, culture is so important that who are now like directors for culture something in organization." And go like, you don't even understand what culture is. I'm an anthropologist, a cultural anthropologist. I've delved into the term, what is culture? And culture is the term I use in my trainings, is a term from Jürgen Bolton, who is not an anthropologist actually, but it helps to learn the language of business people. It's that we have relations as humans, and we have relations to the social environment, to our own, to ourself, to our physical environment, and to the transcendent. So creating meaning. And with that, you already cover also the Mopti approach from Kiona, that holistic thinking holistically, automatically when you think of a human being, and then you interact as systems, and then you have system theory coming into play, structure. And so it is never just a soft topic. If people consider it to be a soft topic, they already lost their transformation.
I absolutely agree, Nora. I absolutely agree. And just to do one of these things that anthropologists do a lot, dropping out literature recommendations, there is this not new book at all. It's called Medicine Has Culture. Mm. And yeah. They have well thinks that this is something neutral. No, but every health organization, every health service facility has its own culture, its own organizational culture. And the way how we practice medicine or how we help people is deeply enrooted in other aspects. It's not neutral at all. And so it is everything we do in our daily life and also, of course, in business. It's everything we do. It's this what you say, the holistic thing, how we understand the world, that everything is interconnected. And I love this definition of it's about relationships, because this is the human thing. And if we think of all the developments of the artificial intelligence discussion currently, it's about relationships and human people, humans, and for example, animals. Yeah, we establish relationships. You plug out the robot from the energy supply and it's a dead thing and it's not doing anything anymore. It's dependent on us.
And that is actually how you can very easily make people from different disciplines understand, because they are all interacting with something and building something that is communicating to something else, like in technology. So I say you need business, technology and anthropology to collaborate closely to achieve the common goals of co-creating a better future for customers, but for the employees and in the end for the citizens. And if we do that in a positive way, in the way we really want to live, we can create wealth and health. And that's what I'm striving for.
That's a wonderful last word, Nora. And thank you very much for this enlightening and fascinating conversation and to let us dive into your world and your work. And thank you to the listeners. This was the last episode of our second series of Yggdrasil Space podcast, and more is coming soon. Bye.
This podcast is produced in collaboration with the Applied Anthropology Network of the European Association of Social Anthropologists. Thank you for listening in and being with us today. If you wish to learn more about us or our guests, please check on the Yggdrasil Space website, www.yggdra-space.org/en, or contact us directly via info@yggdra-space.org. We are happy to answer your questions and to hear your thoughts on the value anthropology has or could have for your daily work. Looking forward to sitting with you again next episode in the Yggdrasil Space under the Tree of Life.